Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
We lost Phil.
We'll get him back sometime. We'll get him back. I'll check in on him.
I think we never had him.
we'll get him back. We do look forward to that whenever they're able to join us. And it looks like they're joining us right now. Okay.
Oh, perfect.
All right, so we'll just do that. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Mr. Hartley. Are you there?
We had an internet outage.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's rough when that happens, yeah.
Yeah, so it pretty much stopped my world and had me having to unplug and find a new power supply issue.
Let's get right to it, Phil.
I'm so sorry.
That's fine. It's all right. It happens. That's life, man. We get that. But I do want to get to the Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday with you. What do you got for us today?
So it's kind of funny. Serendipity.
Ooh, that is funny. That is hilarious, actually, Phil.
Kind of an oxymoron.
Kind of, a little bit.
That's so good, though. That's so good. That's great.
Okay, wait, Phil. Did you have that word picked before the morning issues, or did that come up after?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I had it picked before.
Yeah, I believe it, yeah.
That's not looking good for the rest of your day.
And then it's just nuts, because it means the occurrence or development of events. Any chance by a happy or beneficial way. And I don't know how this is serendipitous that this happened, but maybe it will be, and then we'll have to figure out as the day goes on.
Well, maybe you needed an unplug.
Yeah, you know.
It wasn't really an internet issue. It was really the backup power supply, you know, one of those big black things.
Yeah.
It decided to go, wee!
And that is loud, isn't it? It's almost kind of startling. We had that happen at the United Way office recently.
Yeah, it shut everything down, and then my internet was... had a little time coming back up, and then I lost track of, you know, time.
Well, you got a job to do. It's understandable. You know, that stuff comes first. That's completely okay.
Man. Phil.
I'm so sorry.
This is not Quality Plus related, but let's take a minute and talk about the royalty in the Hartley family.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Congratulations to all of you. I mean, obviously your daughter, but to all of you.
Yeah.
Beautiful young lady.
That's very kind. Thank you. Yeah, she worked hard at it, and she's just young lady, obviously. She works hard. She just is very disciplined, and when she decided she wanted this, she went to work, you know, and I'm very proud of her, and she did a fantastic, one of those things where, you know, I don't want to say underestimate her ever, but you get in the audience, you go, oh, I wonder how she's going to do, you know, and you're kind of nervous, and she just goes out and just nailed everything she did, and I was just so proud of her, and the other young ladies were fantastic, and I applaud them all. I mean, it takes a lot of guts just to get up on that stage, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, very cool. Yeah.
Phil, we're going to get to talk to her in a bit. Again, congratulations to her, the whole family, because it isn't just one person standing up there. They get there by, you know, parents and support and so many things throughout the years of building that confidence to a point where these young ladies are brave enough to do something like this. So you got everybody deserves credit, her first and foremost, of course. But we'll talk to her. I want to get her reactions when we get a chance to. But Phil, how did you and Ann feel about this? How do you guys feel when this something like this happens? Like,
oh man, you know, we were sitting in the audience all night just like squeezing the heck out of
like,
each other.
I was just gonna say, do you have like bruises on you from Ann squeezing your arm?
Yeah. And I have to hold myself back from like yelling at the stage, you know.
Yes.
Your restraint is appreciated.
Yelling at Skipper, you know.
Did you have any like anything, you know, you were gonna maybe toss up there at him or
right. At one point, we printed the programs for the show, you know, which is really neat, too, to be able to do that and, you know, print your own daughter's face in there. And it's kind of fun.
It has to be surreal.
He acknowledged the Quality Plus printing, and I had McKenna with me, one of my, you know, people that work with me here, and we did a big loud whoop whoop, pumping our fists in the middle of the audience. You know? And I thought,
that's awesome.
Mark.
Well,
I saw Mark get a big smirk on his face, you know, and he knew who was doing it. Obviously.
He knew it was coming.
We appreciate it.
We had some fun, but it is surreal as parents. I don't know, it's almost like you're in another world watching that happen, and you think, that's my kid, holy crap, you know, and that they did do so well, and that above and beyond anything you ever dreamed of them, you know, you have great hopes for your kids, obviously, and hopefully they
yeah,
you do it right and they go on further in life. But it's just really neat to,
well, Phil,
to see when one of them can succeed like that.
Congratulate her again, please, for us. And thank you so much for joining us. Join our friends over at Quality Press Printing. They're open right now till 4 at 3515 A Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to like their Facebook page. Follow them on social media. You can also find out more by going to their webpage, qpprinting.com. Good to talk to you, Phil. We'll catch up again next week.
Yeah, thanks for letting me chime in. I'm sorry about the lateness.
No worries. No worries.
Hopefully things will be more serendipitous next time.
Have a great day.
Have a good one, Phil. Take care. A big shout out to all of our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Big thank you to them. I appreciate Phil making the time for us. That was nice. So we go from that to some entertainment news, and BuzzFeed has an ongoing poll to see how People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive, Chris Evans, compares to other famous men. He dominated the poll and beat out others like Ryan Reynolds and Harry Styles and Paul Rudd. Here are the results. Let's see here. We're not going to go through every single one of these or anything like that. But it is kind of funny because at number one is like Simu Liu, the gentleman who was Shang-Chi and the Marvel guy.
Spit it out, dude.
I'm trying to think of his actual movie.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of the movie. Harry Styles came in at number two. 21% of people chose him compared to 79% of people that chose Chris Evans. And here it gets a little more interesting. Freddie Prinze Jr. in the early 2000s, 12% said yes, 88% still went with him. So you see what they did here is they kind of went through history a little bit. Then Ryan Reynolds, Paul Rudd, Keanu Reeves. But Keanu Reeves in the mid-90s. I actually think he's more handsome now than he was in the 90s.
What would be like something recent of his?
Well, John Wick movies. That kind of thing.
I guess I always think of him from the 90s stuff.
Yeah.
Like when I hear his name, I just go to, what was that movie?
It isn't like he's aged that much. Like, it's not like he looks that different. Like, you look
definitely at, dyeing his hair.
Look at Paul Rudd. I don't know about that with him. I don't know. That he's not one of those guys to get stuff like that done and everything. I'd actually be kind of curious about that. So, Paul Rudd is another good example. Paul Rudd was 2021 Sexiest Man Alive, but Paul Rudd, when he was in the movie Clueless, and Paul Rudd now look almost absolutely no different. Like, they're almost the same person somehow. It is the same person, but like, yeah. Yes, that's right. Photoshop. Pete Davidson at number seven, Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones came in there, and Leonardo DiCaprio in Titanic. And adult Simba in The Lion King.
What?
they're just trying anything right now.
Seeing if anybody's actually reading to the bottom of the list, right?
Exactly, exactly. Black Panther 2 is going to be coming out shortly. We already know that Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever, is going to be a box office beast. And here's how the proof, all the proof you didn't need. It has already sold 45 million in advance tickets. That is insane. That's insane.
Wow.
That there's high numbers we've seen. I don't remember seeing something like that in a while. By Friday, advanced sales could be in the 60 million to 65 million range, which is more than 55 million in advanced sales that the original Black Panther raked in. It's expected to open at least 175 million in the U.S., although some experts are predicting it to be 200 million, plus anywhere from 155 to 195 million internationally. This is Marvel doing what Marvel does now. And this one's a little different because of the passing of Chadwick Boseman and they really took their time with that story. I like that they really put some care into it. And we've rambled about Marvel a number of times of why are they getting it so much righter than DC? What are they doing that DC isn't doing? And there's a couple of things that really stand out that we've talked about. They've had patience with these characters and let them grow and build, so you grab an attachment to them, so you see them grow and all these things. They have a patience in storytelling. They're not rushing these things. All that stuff is big, and maybe the first and second things. But I honestly think the number one thing that Marvel has done so well that DC hasn't is just listening. They listen to the fans. They listen to the fan base. They understand, hey, They don't care as much about Black Panther as they do. We lost Chadwick Boseman. We lost an amazing human being. We lost an amazing actor. And we lost him without even knowing that he was going through this. That's tough enough to lose somebody, but then to lose somebody and realize that they were suffering and you didn't know they were. different type of pain, people. And so that they take that into consideration with these movies. They take all that stuff. They don't rush it. They don't, oh, we got to do this. We got to beat these people to the box office or something like that. They're going to do their thing. And if you like it, cool. If you don't, that's all right. And my God, is it working?
Clearly. But isn't it okay, advance tickets. Mm. Let's talk about, do you remember ever waiting in line outside the movie theater get in? Like in the 80s when Batman came out?
Yep.
The line was all the way to the end of the block.
That's
and
hilarious.
We were like an hour and a half, we were super early. And now I think it's funny that there are millions of dollars of tickets already pre-sold.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's just very like... Wrapping your mind around that is just kind of odd.
I'm sure there are still people that do stand in line and everything, but I think a lot of that... Oh, I guess it's only for an iPhone they'll do that. They won't stand in line for a movie anymore, but for an iPhone or the newest phone or whatever they will. That's hilarious you said that. We both thought it had the same movie pop in our head, the first Batman with Jack Nicholson. Is that the one you were thinking
of?
Yeah. I was in Madison visiting my friend Craig when that came out. And we're going to go to the theater. We're going to go see this. And we went to two different theaters trying to get in. We still stood in line forever. It was crazy.
Yeah. And I waited in line for it here, in Wisconsin Rapids. Yeah. But it was just funny. We're like wrapped way down, down Grand Avenue. I don't know. It's kind of cool.
Hey, remember, I guess especially people that are newer to the area and everything, we used to have two theaters.
Three?
We had three? I didn't know
we
that.
We did. So on Grand, on the west side, there was the Wisconsin Theater. So across from from the Ground Up Coffee House.
Yeah, yeah. My mom used to, where Book World used to be.
And so that was the Wisconsin Theater. Mm-hmm. And then there was a Cinema 8 out on A Street. In the vicinity of... Culver's or
really?
That next kind of building there. There was another one.
Wow. That's really cool.
We had three choices.
I had no idea. Yeah. I thought you were going to say the drive-in theater.
That no,
was
and we had the drive-in too, which is out where Clancy's or the Outpost is now. So, so I guess four choices, but we had three. Yeah.
Cool. I learned some history today. I love that. That's made my morning. I like hearing that stuff. Some other interesting news. The CMAs announced that Reba McEntire, Carrie Underwood, and Miranda Lambert will be opening tonight's show with a tribute to Loretta Lynn. You may have heard that there's an Alan Jackson tribute, too. Carrie is also part of that, and she'll be joining Dierks Bentley, John Party, and Lainey Wilson. The 56th Annual CMA Awards air tonight at 7 o'clock on ABC. Going to be a much-needed palate cleanser for a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
I think that musicians do this better than anybody, paying tribute to fellow artists. I don't think anybody does it better than musicians.
I agree.
But I got to say, especially in recent memory, but even you can go farther back, I don't think anybody pays tribute to their, quote unquote, their artists, their genre artists, better than country musicians. I've seen it my whole life where one artist didn't necessarily always get along with another artist. That artist passed away, and they come out of the woodworks and one of the first people to say, hey, they were a good person, or they did this right, or whatever.
I think country music, too, though, has a little bit of a reputation of being a family.
Yes.
Country music as a genre, even if you're not always on the same page. But you know what I mean? There just seems to be more of a spirit of maybe collaboration and cooperation.
Yeah.
And what I mean? But I agree. I think it's cool.
I think all formats of music could learn something from that. And that's not in my wheelhouse or anything, but you can't not see that kind of stuff and give it its due, give it credit. That's impressive and pretty cool. Again, that'll be tonight at 7, the CMAs. So wanted to touch on this one as well. Now, I'm a little afraid to get into this topic with Terry because I feel like she's just going to crush this whole list. LawnStarter.com did their annual ranking of cities that are the best for country music fans. It's based on factors like the number of country radio stations, concert venues, and country museums. And looking at the top 20, do you want to start at the bottom or the top here,
Terry? Start at the bottom.
All right. We'll go right to 20, where San Francisco comes in. Okay,
that would not have been on my radar.
That would not have been on mine either. No, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Start at 10.
Yeah, right. Cincinnati, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, Knoxville. Knoxville, Tennessee, even kind of low. St. Louis at number 15, Portland at 14, Seattle at 13, and Grand Rapids, Michigan at number 12.
Oh.
So an interesting list. We get a Midwest representation there with Minnesota and Michigan, Ohio to a degree. Very interesting to see California in this list more than Tennessee. But then let's look at the top 11 here, because then you got Pittsburgh at number 11, right outside the top 10. Number 10 is Denver, Colorado. Number 9, Eugene, Oregon. Didn't see that coming.
I don't even know where that is. I don't think I've ever heard of Eugene, Oregon.
Richmond, Virginia comes in at number 8. Not too surprising there. Mm-hmm. Austin, Texas at number 7. And actually, number 6 and 7, I think, actually have a lot in common. Number 7 is Austin, Texas. Number 6 is Chicago, Illinois. Oh. And I think both of those might be surprising to people in one way or another. Because like in Texas, Austin is kind of like the indie scene. That's where you got a lot of your punk artists, a lot of your independent artists, a lot of that. It's still Texas. You still got a lot of the country music scene down there.
Well, and it said venues, right?
Right,
so, I mean,
right.
If there's a large number of those.
And speaking of that, I guess if you are not familiar, it might be surprising to you, but Chicago has had a long history of supporting country music and having country stars come in. There's almost a pipeline from Nashville to Chicago. It's actually that pipeline that exists was built by blues. And just kind of got picked up by folk artists and a lot of that. And pretty soon you've got country artists there. I mean, Chicago's no different than any other metropolitan city. You've got a lot of bars, a lot of places for people to play. You're not going to completely ignore a certain genre of music, especially
right.
one as gigantic as country music. So I think that on the surface it might seem surprising. That does not shock me at all. I've seen plenty of country artists in bars of Chicago and everything. And it's a big... music scene as well, obviously,
well,
with a lot of young artists.
Think about how many artists pack Soldier Field.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
yeah. Charleston, South Carolina hits the top 5. Atlanta, Georgia at number 4. Number 3, Salt Lake City, Utah. Number 2, New York City, New York.
Huh.
Interesting. I think that has that leans into the whole place, the venues.
Number 1 has to be Nashville.
And number 1 on the list, you got it, Terry. Nashville, Tennessee, nicely done. Nicely done by you. Yeah. And for
expected.
Obvious reasons.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to be. Especially when you take all those things in consideration. I got to say, it's one of those... I'm looking at this list, and there's a handful of cities I haven't been to. That's probably the number one on my list of cities that I have not been to that I would like to, outside of maybe New York. I would like to visit New York. I'm a theater person, so that's some mecca of theater, really. But Nashville, Memphis, like Tennessee, something about it I've always wanted to check out. And it's close. You know, it's not that far from us.
It's cool.
Everybody tells me that.
It's just, you know, and it doesn't matter what kind of like scene you're looking for. You know, there's the whole bar thing, but you can also go down like Broadway, like during the day, mm-hmm. you know, and there's still every stage has someone on it. And, you know, so you can get whatever vibe from it you want.
Yeah.
But the whole just idea of seeing it and, you know, where like legitimate big artists, you know, got their break or play or, you know, and of course the Grand Ole Opry. I mean, that's really cool to see. I was very fortunate when we went, the artist that was supposed to be at the Grand Ole Opry canceled due to illness. And they found a substitute that just absolutely warmed my heart, Alison Krauss, because I absolutely love her. And so they're like, you know, we're really sorry this act isn't going to be here, but we found somebody else. And I'm like, no way. Like, I was absolutely over the moon. So, you know, sometimes serendipitous stuff happens, right?
That's right. That's right. nicely done. That is pretty darn cool, actually.
Yeah.
She's one of those people I'd give anything to see.
But the Opry is just a really neat opportunity.
Yeah, it really is.
And the Ryman, and you know, there's all kinds of of those opportunities.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun with some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, and plenty more coming up here at Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you. Hope you're having a great day out there, everybody. Got some interesting stuff to get to, and a couple of That Ain't Right stories. We actually have one that goes back to last month that we weren't able to, that is just starting, we're just starting to get some of the data from and everything, too. So if you're picking numbers to play in the lottery, there are countless inspirations to draw from. Special dates, lucky numbers, fortune cookies, sports scores, your code numbers on your Kohl's cash. I mean, there's a million different things you can do. And I've heard them all. I think we've all heard them all.
Yeah, the PIN number from your Kohl's cash?
I mean, maybe. Yeah. People have tried
everything.
It's only
four digits.
To the point that everybody has tried everything, a 60-year-old man in Maryland won a 50-cent pick 5 drawing by using the numbers from his truck's broken odometer.
Oh.
That's awesome. I think that's great. He says he bought an old truck with an odometer stuck at 82,466 miles.
He told people his number?
So he uses the numbers 82466 to play the lottery every day.
I would not tell.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how many people are going to use that number now? Then you got to split.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The numbers came up in last Friday's drawing, earning him a cool 25 G's. So 25.
Very cool. From his old beat up truck.
Yeah, yeah.
Think he'll buy a new truck?
I don't know.
No.
I would not sell that one.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah. At least keep the odometer. I would at least keep that. And his luck didn't start there. This is actually his third jackpot. He won $50,000 from a drawing in 95 and $100,000 from a scratch off ticket in 08. Those weren't using odometer numbers, though. The guy says the $25K will go towards bills. He didn't mention anything about getting the odometer fixed. Did anybody else? Okay, that's a lot of money to win in the short amount of time to where you're still playing the lottery. Like, I don't know if he's just burning through this money or if he just likes playing the lottery.
Probably just a hobby thing,
sure,
right? Because
sure.
Wasn't the one was like a 50-cent lottery?
Yeah.
I'm guessing he didn't buy like 8,000 tickets.
I saw with the rise of people realizing that their dreams were shattered and they did not win that $1 billion and everything, this conversation come up again. And it's always the people having this conversation and starting this conversation are the people that did not win. It's always that way. You never hear anybody who won saying that, hey, if you win the lottery once for life,
stop.
You're kind of done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what the right answer is to that, but I know that it's gaining traction. That the conversation. I don't know if I still feel like if you pulled 100 people, you're going to get 50-50, 60-40, something like that. But it's interesting. The more we go along with this and stuff, and I don't know. It's interesting to me because I don't play. I don't care. I don't. You know, life is enough of a gamble for me. I don't really need to play the lottery. I don't. And honestly, I don't. I just don't have any desire to do it. So it kind of, I just sit back and kind of watch all this and
sure.
take it all in. And for me as
and
an observer,
invest your $5.
I put it into United Way.
I
put it into that kind of thing.
Saying.
When it comes to that, I'm just more a fly on the wall. And all this stuff is just interesting to me. I don't know what the right answers are. I'm not pretending like I know or anything like that. But I am kind of curious to see where we go as a society with this one. Like if you get to a point where you can't. So with sports, you can only own so many major franchises. You cannot own like a major franchise in all four sports. There's a reason that people, you'll see ownership groups of a basketball and baseball team or something like that, like the Reinsdorfs or something. But you don't see anybody owning all four teams in that area. To the point where like Wayne Huizenga, who used to own the Miami Dolphins and stuff, he wanted to own all the sports teams in Miami. He found out about this law. So then all of a sudden there was like bidding from like Joe Huizenga, like his stepbrother, like his brother-in-law and these kind of things and stuff. It makes me think of that with this lottery thing where how would you even enforce that? How are you going to?
Right.
I'm just going to send my significant other or my brother or, you know, whoever to go get me a ticket. There's so many ways around it. It seems like a lot of energy to fight something that it's going to be pretty hard to fight. It'd be pretty difficult to.
Yeah.
And it does not seem like there's enough people bent out of shape about this to make it a thing, to really, which is saying something nowadays, actually.
True. That is true.
Hey, maybe there's a good story of the day.
Soapbox is gone.
We found something that we aren't bent out of shape about. All right. Way to go, everybody. Nicely done. Hey, we got that going for us. No more attack ads. It's a win. It's a win day.
Serendipitous.
Today. Yes, yes. Enjoy your Wednesday, everybody. Some good stuff happening right there. I'm not kidding. With the attack ad thing, I keep on looking over my shoulder waiting for him to come back and everything. So I'm really happy about it. I'm going to enjoy this time right now.
Somebody's going to slide one in the programming here.
Yes, just to mess with me. You know, and you know who would do it? Chuck, our engineer, and our GM, the guy who's charged.
They both have access, so just be thinking about it.
He would so do that to us. We'll take a break. We'll get to Melissa's, actually Seth's news. Oh, I got it right on the third try. Seth did the news today. A big shout out to him for that. And again, a humongous shout out to Melissa Kay, our head of news here at WFHR, to all of our hard workers under the Civic Media umbrella. Great work by everybody. Really nice work. Appreciate Seth covering the news this morning. Let's hear what he's got for us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you. Hope you're having a great day out there. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a half that ain't right story, half awesome story, Terry. Because both you and I, like...
Just like the front of the horse and the back of the horse?
Yes, pretty much. Okay. Kind of, yeah. Pretty much. Right, yeah, that's right. A good way to put it. Like, I would say, gosh, almost everybody out there listening, I feel pretty confident saying that. We've all been affected in one way or another by Alzheimer's. And understand how serious Alzheimer's, dementia, these things are. So there's nothing to take lightly about that. And any advancements in that technology is fantastic. It's amazing. It's a heck of a time to be alive. But then there's a catch. So hear me out on this one. Is more grant money being funneled to nose-picking studies? Because this is the second one we've seen in the past few days. Last week, a study found at least 12 primates pick their nose. And we never knew this before, so now we found that out. Now, a separate study found that doing it too much might give you Alzheimer's.
What?
There's a certain bacteria called Chlamydia, C-H-L-A-M-Y-D-I-A, that's been linked to dementia. Some experts think it's what causes it. Now, researchers at Griffith University in Australia have shown it can get into your brain by entering through your nose. When they tested it on mice, their brain cells responded by producing something called amyloid beta proteins. Basically, they're little things that clump together and form plaques in your brain and that mess with your neurons. And they've been linked to Alzheimer's disease before, many times actually before. That they think the bacteria can bypass your bloodstream and get into your brain through your olfactory nerve, which is what gives you your sense of smell. They say more research is needed, and they're planning a follow-up study. But researchers who led the study says it's probably a good idea to pick your nose less, and plucking nose hairs isn't a good idea either. Now, this is a very far way to go for parents to be right. This is a real big stretch for parents to go to get us to quit picking our noses and everything. But okay, all right, well, I guess we should stop.
That is just very odd. I get what they're saying about how the bacteria might travel. I don't know if I make the correlation between the bacteria and the disease, but I'm not a scientist. But that is interesting.
It is. It's very interesting. It's kind of weird. And also, it would be such a kicker if we found out that we could have been preventing this the whole time if we just stopped picking our noses or something.
Yeah, that would just not be cool.
No, that would not be cool at all. No, that's a Betty Wright story. I don't know. I want to have fun with the subject. I want to make fun of it and all that. It's just too heavy of a topic to where I just can't get myself to do it. But it is kind of funny to think of. Imagine if you are before this data has come out and everything, and you're these researchers and you discover, wait, we may have actually figured out a way to make a connection to Alzheimer's, to dementia that leads to Alzheimer's or what have you, so that we can actually maybe start, you know, figuring out a cure and cause and stopping this from happening to us and everything. And you go there and you're like, these people that are going to give you the grant money, they're, oh, that's great. Well, what do you need money for? Picking our noses. Get out of here. What are you talking? You wasted my time. No, seriously. This is real. Let me show you the numbers. Get out of here. I ain't listening to that. No, thankfully they listened because while it's silly and kind of funny and everything, this is data. This is more data that we did not have beforehand. And they are finding that this amyloid beta proteins are the main cause of what's blocking our brain and clouding our brain up when it comes to dementia or Alzheimer's, because they're two different things for those that don't remember that or know that. It's game changing. This is huge.
So because here's where I went and where I'm stuck.
Yeah.
Which, like, cartoon? Okay, so do you remember a long time ago when it was like some cartoon character or something where it was like, oh, it was Pee Wee Herman. Now I got it. Want to see my brain and up the nose.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Is it possible that he was on to something?
You know, I think you make a good point, and it's time for us to Paul Rubens, who played Pee-wee Herman. It's time for us to give him credit as a scientist. We haven't done that.
We should have.
We're sorry, Paul. No, actually, nobody's sorry to Paul. well, for a lot of reasons, that's off of the Pee-wee Herman thing. That's an interesting study for those reasons, but also. We've also discovered a little bit more about the brain with this too, and that part of the data is really interesting. I don't know if I feel comfortable saying this about any disease or any virus or anything like that, But it does. It's starting to feel less and less far-fetched to say that we maybe have a cure to Alzheimer's at some point. Like, I don't know if our lifetime or not, Terry, but the we're that much closer to it. The science is evolving so much. Technology is evolving so much. And we're able to do things now that not only were we not able to do 100 years ago, we weren't able to do 10 years ago. So with that, and with these big brains we got in the world today and everything, I don't think it's far-fetched to say that it may happen.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, yeah. It'd be the least we could do for each other, for human beings. We all understand, you know, if you're over the age of 10, you know your body, it has a shelf life. And we get that, you know, our aches and pains, our bones and stuff.
You probably know you shouldn't pick your nose.
Probably.
By that point.
But our brains, you know, that part, and I understand, we started the show today talking about not being fair, life and not being fair and all those things. I understand that. That being said, it just seems so wrong that our brains deteriorate like that, that can happen to us, that's even an option. It just feels like, as childish as it is for me to say, it feels like a flaw in the design, although I am not the ones, I'm not saying that there actually is, it just feels that way. We'll take a break right here. Hopefully not have no picking studies coming up later.
Next week, actually.
No, we actually got good stories of the day coming up, and we want to catch up with our United Way, talk about some great stuff we got going on around here at Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you at 9:46 on the clock. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining us. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. Got to get it in there, right?
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Yeah. You asked for so little. I want to get to that ain't right story before our good stories of the day. Here's another doozy. Shoe shopping can be done on a budget, or it could cost a fortune. And the same goes for horseshoes. You get a solid game of horseshoes for $50 on Amazon, and you can shoe an actual horseshoe. You can shoe an actual horse for about $200. And now you can make your horse hip Adidas streetwear sneakers for a fat sack. That's what they call money. A Kentucky-based artist named Marcus Floyd has developed a prototype for a horse sneaker. It's a bit of a gimmick. He worked with a tourism agency, and it was part of an initiative to bring awareness to Kentucky. But they are actually a real thing. Marcus takes a pair of human shoes, Adidas, Air Jordans, anything, deconstructs them, and then reassembles them so that they fit over a pre-made protective boot for horses. They are wearable, but making a full set of them takes Marcus around 17 hours, so they're not cheap. They're priced at about $1,200.
That's it.
Per shoe. For his custom work.
And you need four.
Yeah, depending on the company of the design. I don't even think they look that cool.
But imagine them going by very quickly on a running horse. Might be cool.
It might be. I have to say, I don't think the horse cares. I don't believe that the horse.
Although, yeah, have you ever watched some of those racehorses? Like, I think it's kind of cool. Some of them are kind of prima donna-ish. You know what I mean? Like, how they kind of print. Like, they know. They know they're fast. They know they're kicking butt. So, you know, maybe.
The horses I'm thinking of are certainly different than those. But you talk about those kind of horses, and that's a different thing.
So, yeah. I don't know. Somebody will have them.
Everybody has seen that dog that knows it's cute.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
There are plenty of dogs that know that kind of thing.
And then you add a little bow tie, and hyper cute, you know?
Yeah, animals know. They know. I don't know if every animal knows, like human beings. Not every human being is aware of it, but just like human beings, a lot of animals know. Animals remind me so much in that way of little kids. Like that little kid that's cute, and they know they're cute. They subconsciously know they're cute. Like, they're not thinking about, oh, I'm cute, I can get away with this. They're thinking about, hey, I get away with stuff. You know, and that's what they know. I love horses. I really do. I think one of the greatest feelings in the world is getting the chance to ride a horse.
I like that too.
That's freedom to me, especially when you get booking. Like, I've been in a car that's gone over 70. I've been in, you know, fast vehicles and planes and all that stuff. I'll take a horse galloping any day of the week. There's nothing like that feeling.
You know, and this does a little bit resemble putting like your dog in a Halloween costume.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
it does.
I think the horse is doing the eye roll.
Yeah, yes.
You know,
definitely.
Are you serious?
Like, hey, you could have saved, like, just bought me more hay, you know, bought me more food. You could have saved
How about
all this
some carrots,
money.
You know?
Carrots, I mean, a couple sugar cubes or something, you know? I mean, forget about the shoes. I don't care about those. Let me get to some good stories of the day. Firefighters in Washington State saved a cat named David Hasselfluff. Boy, that's, from a house fire on Saturday, which happened to be National Cat Day. So this was about a week or so ago, but yeah. A wildlife photographer in Australia got a shot of a southern right whale swimming alongside a baby humpback. The two species don't usually cross paths or interact, but experts think that the baby must have been orphaned and the adult whale adopted it.
That's what I'm thinking, because you would think that it's, you know, adult humpback would not allow, you know what I mean, would make sure there was distance there. So that's pretty cool.
And it is, if that is true, if so, it might be the first time it's ever been documented. My palate cleanser, usually in the mornings when I get done going through our news and all that stuff, is seeing these, you know, a bear and a lion that become friends and that kind of thing. Like, that stuff never gets old to me.
Like, unusual.
Yeah, unusual animal pairings or whatever you want to type into your search bar. This is right up that alley. I when I saw this, it blew me away, and I had to look at, like, multiple sources because I was like, oh, I don't know. Is that real? Yeah, that's real. It's a real story and real fascinating.
That's cool.
It's one of those species, you know, whales in general, that we just don't know nearly enough about, and we're learning more and more all the time. A couple who have been together 15 years just got married in South Carolina last month. Now a video from the ceremony is going viral because of how the bride teased the guy for taking so long to propose. She pulled out the vows she'd written on a piece of paper and blew the dust off them. It was a huge laugh. Huge. Even he cracked up at that. Even he laughed at that.
Well, if he wants to get married, he probably has to laugh.
I'd like to, right? Yeah, he's learning real quick. I'd like to send a shout out to her and also invite her to our acting classes. Like, I'd like to teach. That's an actor, right? That's a performer right there. That was great. That was very well done. An 18-year-old kid in Boston named Finn Carter was leaving a Celtics game with his dad last Friday when he saw a guy drowning, helped save him, then woke up the next morning and took the SATs.
Well, there you go.
Nice job, kid. Nice job, man. Again, Finn Carter, 18 years old.
Awesome.
A 53-year-old woman in England says getting a breast job saved her life. 2 weeks after her surgery last year, she was taking the bandages off when she felt a lump, and it was cancer. Luckily, she caught it early before it spread. And especially coming out of October and everything, ladies, please check yourselves. We need you around. We need all of you. Like, don't leave this to us. Don't leave the world to guys, okay? It'll last a week, and it'll look like the living room, you know, when you leave town for a while and dad takes over, and like, you're gone.
There's dishes all over.
You get in the car, you get a couple blocks down, and like, oh, I forgot something. You come back, and like, it's already a disaster. Like, that's what had happened. So please, ladies,
quick, check. Let's clean up before mom gets home.
We need you around, please. A Michigan man who lives in an assisted living lost his emotional support dog last month and didn't think he'd ever see him again. But someone just found the dog 2 weeks later, so they were reunited.
Oh, like literally lost. Yeah. I was thinking you meant pass away.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Huh?
And on the very same day, the guy also found out the donor kidney he got earlier this year is working great.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's a very cool story.
Very cool.
That's great. That's a really good one right there. There are some other good stories we wanted to touch on. Like, let's see. There's this. These are from a little ways back. But a 17-year-old named Allison Appleby just won. This is last month. So last month won the Miss Dallas Teen USA pageant. While her service dog was on stage with her, she has epilepsy, and the dog helps alert her before she has a seizure.
Isn't that cool?
I have read about this. I've studied this. I know quite a bit about it, and I still can't wrap my mind around how they do that.
That's super cool.
I've heard all the science. I've heard it, and I still can't figure it out. Like, it's amazing. Man, dogs are awesome.
It is amazing.
That young lady's awesome, too. And a 12-year-old girl in Arizona got struck by lightning, and her heart stopped, but her dad did CPR. brought her back, and she's going to be okay. He's a Marine veteran who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's pretty darn good under pressure. That being
but when
said,
it's your own kid.
When it's your own yeah. kid. Like, man, way to go, sir. Way to go. And thank you for your service. And
think about how scary that would be to see your kid get struck by lightning.
I literally,
you know what I mean?
I can't even wrap my brain around that. Yeah. But I will say, man, you as a dad, like, the rest of that kid's life, you've got some like standing. There's so many things as a dad that I can think of as a dad where that card is in the back of my back pocket and I'm never playing it. You got to know it's there though. You got to know it's there.
And I might remind you it's there. I won't use it, but I might pull it out once in a while.
She's only 12. She hasn't even gone through the whole terrible that stuff.
That poor
teen
kid.
Years and everything. So, man, that's a tough kid right there and a tough dad. Thank you. Man, that's a great story. In 2013, an Irish guy was in New York and didn't have enough to cover his cab fare. So he gave his cabbie an IOU for 2 pints of Guinness if he ever came to his family's pub in Dublin. And 9 years later, the cabbie just took him up on
it. Shut up. That's awesome.
They took a bunch of pictures together. They both loved it. The guy didn't pay for a drink his whole time there. Like
that's a long time. You know, it's not 9 months later. That is super cool.
Good on everybody, you know, like not only remembering that, but like doing that. That is pretty cool.
That is awesome.
That's awesome. We also know that one of our other great stories that we have locally around us, certainly this Friday, is Veterans Day. We've got some Veterans Day activities in Wisconsin Rapids at 11 a.m. on the Veterans Day ceremony at Veterans Park in downtown Wisconsin Rapids. Alternate site is the, in case of inclement weather, will be the East Junior High School Fieldhouse. Ceremony is followed by the Chili Feed at the American Legion Post 9 at 140 Love Street. 1 o'clock, Veterans Memorial Ceremony at the Wisconsin Rapids Performing Arts Center at 16th Street. Spaghetti dinner 4:30 to 7 at Donald J. Knuth Memorial Hall, VFW Post 2534 at 2711 Redden Road. And I want to thank Jerry Kroftka and, of course, other great people that have gotten us this information so we can get it to all of you. Help us celebrate. Help us let our veterans, every one of our veterans, know how much we appreciate them.
And partake in one of those events. Yes. I mean, it's very moving, and it also is a really great show of support.
Mm-hmm. And some cool stuff going on with our friends at Culver's. They are doing their company-wide fundraiser to help support food pantries for the week. Every concrete mixer sold, they will donate $1 to the food pantry. Our local Culver's is participating in the fundraiser on behalf of Focus Food Pantry. It'll be Monday, November 14th through Thursday, November 17th. And that's next week.
That would be a tragedy to have a concrete mixer every day.
You know, you poor things. But we ask you to dig deep, everybody. Dig deep. And get some Culver's in your life. I know it could be tough.
Try a different flavor each day.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. Yeah, I like that. That's pretty cool. And a big shout out to everybody that's going to participate.
Absolutely.
In that. And certainly great things going on with our United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Terry, can we go over the Reef Silent Auction one more time? And then we'll wrap up on the Radiothon.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have until the end of the day tomorrow, November 10th, to register to donate a wreath. So this is a, you know, if you're creative, this is a wreath you might make, or if not so creative, it's a wreath you might buy. But you would donate it to United Way. Those need to be registered by Thursday, November 10th.
Yes.
And we do still have a few spaces open. It is limited to the first 20 wreaths, but I know that there are a few spots still open. And then what happens is those wreaths are part of an online silent auction that helped to benefit our annual campaign. The auction will run from Thursday, December 1st, up till Tuesday, December 6th. And you basically, it's pretty cool. You just jump and create a little profile and then you just place your bids. There'll be pictures of each wreath. It will give you a little detail. You know, is it fresh? Is it lit? Mm-hmm. You know, what is the, Stephanie from our office is pretty creative. You know, she kind of names each one. Mm-hmm. And so that you can keep an eye on those. But it's a fun way to get involved with the community, to make a financial impact and investment in the community, and also to have something, you know, new for the holidays. So maybe it's a treat to yourself, or maybe you're you know, going to go after one and win it so that you can give it as a gift. And so the auction will close on December 6th. So starting on December 7th, you could come by the office, pick up your wreath, and you've got it to, you know, hang on your door for the next, you know, month or 2 months or whatever thereafter. Some are Christmas and some are winter themed. So, you know, depending upon how long, you might get some some use out of it for the year, sure. but very much appreciated. You know, I do think it's important to call out those who have already donated wreaths. We have a few in the office already. So, but the deadline is to have those to us by November 17th, physically in the building. And, you know, the people who have signed up, the companies who have signed up, you know, thanks for doing that. It's a little bit different way to give, you know, to give by doing that. And then, you know, we'll of course talk about it when we're here next week, but just a great way to get involved and make an investment.
I appreciate everybody doing that. And it is an investment in your community. And we'll be talking more about that next time we get together, Terry, next Wednesday for the United Way Radiothon. Mark your calendars, 7 to 10:30. Special day here, Radiothon next Wednesday with our United Way. Terry, you have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Appreciate you being here today.
You bet.
We'll get out of the way. We'll let our friends from Morning, we got Morning Magazine coming up in just a moment right here at, well, you know, Heather, I like the way you say it. You say it.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 13:20 a.m. and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.